Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Monty Walden. My guest today is Simon Taylor. Simon is the founder owner of a company called Stone Vine and Son, as in S-U-N, a wine importer based in Hampshire, the little village of Twyford, which is near Winchester, which used to be the capital of England until about 800 years ago. Simon, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
Right, so Stone Vine and Son, how did that all start?
It started in 2002. I decided I wanted to be a wine merchant. I loved wine my whole life and made the insane decision to give up a really well-paid job working with art to work with wine.
So when you say working with art, a little bit more.
I used to work at Sotheby's. I used to write auction catalogues. Now I work in a wine merchant and I write wine lists.
Right, okay. I mean, why did you decide to make that change? Give me a bit more detail on that. Were you bored? You just made your several millions and thought you'd throw it all away on a wine import company?
That the latter is more or less accurate, but I had done 23 years in one company. I knew I was never going to be there forever, and I wanted to do something new with my life.
And are you from the Winchester area originally?
Yeah, not originally, but I've known the area all my life, yes.
But you went to school there?
I did go to school.
And yeah. You were quite, that's Winchester's like one of England's most exclusive school, but full of brain boxes who often go on to become prime ministers. So obviously you let the side down rather badly.
Definitely. But Winchester is an interesting town because it's close enough to London to have a lot of people who commute, so therefore they have London incomes, but those people often want to spend their money locally on wine.
So you're mainly focused on the Rhone, is that correct?
The Rhone and Languedoc-Roussillon was how we started, but we've been through a big change because we had customers coming to us and saying, why don't you have any Bordeaux? Why don't you have any Italian wine? So we've broadened out a lot from that. And Italy is now my absolute passion, in part because of in Italy, because it makes it so easy to come here and get an education. If, you know, now my pattern, I come every year. Every year I try to add one or two estates. This year I want to try and find someone in Garvey. And so I go through the book, I go and find small producers, I talk to them, I taste the wine, and usually we add one or two new estates each year.
And you occasionally pop into Montalcino, which is where I live.
Yes,
hunting down
many years ago I came to Brunello, to the Benvenuti Brunello Festival, which again is a great Italian event.
That's sort of en prima wine tasting mainly for professionals.
Yeah, not for professionals on a Sunday. Everybody who'd ever once tasted a glass of Montalcino was definitely there on the Sunday.
Well, that's when the public are allowed in, and it does tend to get a little bit rowdy. Yes. I have to say. So are you, I mean, this sort of new love for Italian wine, are you going to change the name to sort of Stone Vine and Son, Pietre Vite Sole, or not?
Is it that sounds much better in Italian.
But it's commercially probably Italian. Difficult, right?
I mean, the origins of the name is because we wanted to sell wine that reflected literally, you know, the earth, the stone, degraded stone, the earth, the plant, and the weather. So we wanted to sell wines that had a sense of place rather than being made in a huge industrial factory.
And obviously that helps that, you, as you said earlier, that Winchester is quite a wealthy, well-to-do place where people are prepared to spend money on top quality.
Yes. At the same time, it's quite a conservative area. So people do like, a lot of people still want to drink red Bordeaux. It's an important part of what we do. But at the same time, they are also increasingly open-minded, especially younger people. They don't actually mind where the wine comes from. If the story is good and if the taste is good, that's what counts.
So what kind of story turns people on as regards Italy? Is it the kind of third generation, the nonno, the granddad started it, that kind of thing? Or is it something a little bit deeper than
that? Yeah, but in a way, in the UK market, there are two Italys. In one Italy, it's occupied by Pinot Grigio and Prosecco. And these are both huge sellers. The other Italy is really, to me, all the interesting stuff, which is a large number of organic producers or biodynamic producers or even natural producers. A large number of those, small production, people often combining 10 hectares of vines with some agriturismo and some maybe growing olives as well. Small scale, perfect for my business, which is small, so there is a congruence between the two of us. And great labels, of course. Italy has such a design ethos. I mean, actually, as part of the country, has this great sense of design. So Italian labels tend to be so much better than the French wine labels, for example.
So just more sexy, more stylish.
And then what's in the bottle, interestingly, I think has remained better value. In France, there has been, in contrast to France, where there's been a lot of price inflation over the last few years, prices in Italy have remained pretty fair. You know, from the buying point of view, I believe we can buy better and buy more interesting wines in Italy than in large areas of France now.
Right, well, you won't be allowed to cross the channel ever again. You know, just divert. You have to drive through Germany to get down to Italy in future. But that's maybe not such a bad thing. So how much time can you spend in Italy hunting wines? And how do you do it? Do you make phone calls first? Do you have a plan? Do you just do it potluck?
Vinitaly is a very, very important part of it. So I will often make the initial contacts at Vinitaly. But at the same time, I do travel through Italy, and I will be going to see a number of our producers in the second half of May. But for finding new things, I'm afraid the easiest way to taste a wide variety of wines very quickly, it's to come to Vinitaly.
Right. So you do a lot of homework before you arrive.
Yes, absolutely. So that's very important.
What are your criteria then? Is it price? Is it style? Is it sweetness levels? Tannin levels?
The research is mainly focused, I'm afraid, on two things. One, finding people who are recommended within the Italian market in guidebooks such as Gambero Rosso and the Slow Wine book, which is very important. But you have to have the Italian edition, not the English language edition, which Why? Is much slimmer.
Oh, okay. So you get more detail then.
Absolutely. Secondly, as you say, price. Thirdly, is it widely distributed in the UK already? There's no point me going out to try and find somebody who's got five importers already. So, and also small scale. In France, we do work with some cooperatives. I don't work with any cooperatives in Italy yet.
Okay, but you're hoping to change that?
We're still too small.
Really?
We're still too small.
Do you do any own label stuff? Would you like to do a Stone Vine and Sun Cuvée?
No, we're too small. You need to buy several, a minimum of, say, 300 dozen of one wine. And we're still just too small for that.
So, I mean, how important is the Italian sort of food aspect when you're selling wine in Winchester and the surroundings? Do you just let people get on with it, or do you give them some advice?
It's really interesting you say that, because when we do most of our tastings, we do without food. We just give people dry biscuits. But very often, if we do a tasting of Italian wine, we will put out different types of salami. We will put out cheese, because so many Italian red wines really, really do need food to show their best.
Do you think people in the UK are becoming more accepting of wines that are a little bit sort of fresher, not necessarily tannic, but have a bit of vim and grip to them, as Italian wines do tend to do?
Yes, and alcohol levels are becoming increasingly important. Funnily enough, not so much in the UK as a whole, but in London, people are really looking for 12-13% wines. You know, I think fresher, lighter styles are cutting-edge fashion in London. I don't know how long that will last, but that's where we are now.
So is that really sort of wine by the glass? People want to have one glass and not fall over before they get their train home.
But it's also a matter of style. It's also, there's a revival, for example, in Beaujolais, in drinking Beaujolais. So it's more fresher, lighter styles, sappy wines, things like Valpolicella, Frappato, Refosco. That sort of style is actually quite popular, but more, as I say, in a metropolitan area.
What about Lambrusco? Not too alcoholic?
I've never dared Lambrusco.
Oh, you've got to go there.
I've not.
You have to go there.
No, we do experiment. I ship a Pignoletto now.
All right, well, that's good.
A sparkling, I mean, a Frizzante Pignoletto.
Oh, that's good.
Which I'm hoping will, it's much better than a cheap Prosecco, but unfortunately, it lacks the name. So at the moment, we're still struggling to sell it.
You won't be invited up to the Veneto to go to the Prosecco region if you say things like that. You do know that, don't you? You're so diplomatic up to now. It's all gone pear-shaped, I'm afraid. You know, you're buying careers. It's going to hit the buffers, mate, I'm afraid. So obviously, lighter styles in terms of alcohol. What about tannin profiles in reds?
Well, that's very interesting. Professionals, this is a problem, because professionals in the wine trade like tannic wines, but a lot of customers don't. Especially a lot of younger consumers who have been brought up starting to drink New World styles, wines from Chile, wines from Australia, which tend to have, if they have much tannin, it tends to be very ripe, very soft tannin.
And very smooth.
And very smooth. Very fruity, very dense, very smooth. So actually, that is at the opposite end of the spectrum from, say, quite a light Italian style with real acid bite and proper palate cleansing tannin. But at the same time, you mentioned food. It does go hand in hand, in a way, with the food revolution. I often say to people, I mean, pork has got so much better in Britain. You can get absolutely fantastic pork now that 10 years ago was just not for sale. And Italian wines are perfect with roast pork or belly of them. So that is a pairing that I really push and promote.
So they cut through the fat, those wines?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. What about dessert wines, the Recciotto, things like that?
Recciotto della Valpolicella is a wonderful style, but fairly expensive. We also ship Recciotto della Suave. Other than that, of course, there are the cheaper, sweeter Muscats. But the Recciotto della Suave, I think, deserves to be better known.
And what do you drink that with, or what would you recommend?
But it's not really sweet enough for pudding. The problem in Britain is that people call these wines pudding wines. Jeez. So they want to drink them with a pudding. And most sweet wine, whether it's from Italy or anywhere else, is not really sweetened. I recommend cheese.
Yeah, no, our cultural knowledge in terms of matching sweet wine with dessert is we're a little bit behind, aren't we? In Italy, you drink them with a knob of cheese.
Mm, absolutely.
You? Is that what you
absolutely.
Do?
I recommend that.
Any particular English cheeses that you want to push for arrecciotto? Something firm?
Yes, it's
blue.
It's not... I don't think it's quite got enough acidic bite for the blue cheese, for that saltiness. I would go for something a little bit milder. Yeah, or even a mild goat's cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, anything else you want to add?
Other than that, Italy, it's... What's so exciting about Italy is there is more and more and more to be discovered. And every year I come, I find something that a great variety that I'd never heard of, a region that is through perhaps half a dozen young people really forging ahead. And it's important not just to come here and have targets, but also just to wander and taste where things catch your eye.
Really? It's quite adventurous, isn't it, doing that?
Well, especially in the...
Vivito, which is...
Vivito.
So basically, Vinitaly is the world's largest wine fair, and there's a section at the... It's a huge... It's the size of, like, a massive airport. And there's a huge hall full of organic, biodynamic and natural producers called Vivite, which is living vine, if you like. And that looks like where you're off to go.
Yeah.
You know, Italy does lead the world in terms of natural wine, if you're into that kind of thing. And also, the main natural wine group here, Van Natura, is really into analysing people's wines to make sure they're not cheating, because there's no independent certification, just a little detail there.
I think that's very commendable. I have a problem about natural. I arrived last night, we go into a wine bar, we have a glass of natural Suave, very hazy. I really don't want to drink a wine that tastes of a hamster's cage.
Yeah, the Bretty wines, yeah. But yeah, that is a bit of a problem. I mean, I think when they're done well, I think non-interventionism is great, but you need to have knowledgeable non-interventionism. I think we're on the same page there. I think those wines can dry out very quickly and they're pretty hard to drink. But obviously you're looking for something with a bit more fruit.
Yeah.
And a bit more clarity.
Right.
Yeah. So Simon Taylor from Stone Vine and Son, which you've got to change the name to the Italian name. You can't just call it Stone Vine and Son. Sorry.
I can see a list forming here. When we next do a presentation of Italian wine,
it's only three words. You got a dictionary. You know what you need to do. You had a very expensive education. You can work it out. You know, you can convince your clients to change the name. Anyway, Simon Taylor, thanks very much for coming in today. It's been great to see you, and wish you the very best for the rest of in Italy.
Thanks very much, Monty.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.